Morning, everyone. Good to see you. We're going to be carrying on going through the book of Hebrews this morning. We've had two sessions so far in the book of Hebrews, and I think they've both been awesome. So don't be too disappointed in number three. But the first one, Pete gave us an overview. The second one, last week, Pete Osborne basically pointed us to Jesus, which is what we all need. And this one, we're going to be looking at. The title of the sermon will be Jesus is better than the angels. But before I start preaching, I just want to give you a bit of an insight into a preacher's mind, more in about how they feel when they preach. So last week, Pete Osborne said he was quite tempted to just stand up, read from the scripture, and then just sit down. And I totally get that, 100%, because the things that the writer to the Hebrews is saying are just mind-blowing, and you just feel completely inadequate to even be talking about these things. And I kind of feel like doing the same thing, but to a slight less degree, because these verses do require a bit of consideration. But it reminded me of a time that I was on in Canada. Well, actually, I was in between Canada and America. I shared this story with a few people, so forgive me for the repetition. But I was at the Niagara Falls. Has anyone here been to the Niagara Falls? Yeah? Did you go on the Maid of the Mist? The Maiden of the Mist? Yeah, so I went on the Maid of the Mist or the Maiden of the Mist. I forget what boat it's called. I'll have to watch Superman 2 again, innit? Because he flies down and rescues that kid who falls off. But I was on the Maid of the Mist or the Maiden of the Mist, and I was just surrounded like by the noise, the cacophony of falling water. And I remember there being like a guide on the Maiden of the Mist who was like kind of churning out facts about the Niagara Falls. Like, they've been here this many millions of years, this many gallons of water falls over them every second. And I just remember thinking, I get what they're trying to do. And I can hear like a kind of babbling in the background, if you want to put it like that. But I'm just awestruck by the Niagara Falls. And that's what I want for us as we go through Hebrews. Like, I might say some stuff, but I'm just basically going to be like that person on the Maiden of the Mist. I want you to be captivated with Jesus. I just want you to be taken up with him and how awesome he is. Because that's the whole point of not just the book of Hebrews, but the whole Bible. So I'm going to pray for that this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray and ask in your grace and mercy that you would reveal Jesus to us this morning in a new and a fresh way. Pete mentioned last week, Lord, about familiarity. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll just blow any familiarity out of the water this morning. And that you would lift our eyes to the true awesomeness of who your Son is again this morning. That we would be captivated by him. That we would be captivated by his glory. And that we'd be captivated with everything that he's done for us. And just how awesome he is over all things. Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to be looking at verses 6 to 14 of Hebrews chapter 1. But I'm just going to read again from verses 1 to 14. So we're going to read the whole of chapter 1 of Hebrews again. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Amen. Like, Hebrews is just a mind blower. It's a noggin wobbler. Like, if you can get through this right without having your mind blown, there's something wrong. Right? Honestly, there's something wrong. Because it's just mind-blowing how much he packs in, or how much they pack in to these verses. In the first few verses, we've probably got the most condensed, power-packed description of who Jesus is in all of Scripture. It says he spoke the words of God, doesn't it? It says he's the heir of all things. It says all things were created through him. It says that he's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. It says that he's sustaining all things right now by the word of his power. The reason that everything just doesn't fly apart right now, including yourself, your own body, is because he's upholding it by the word of his power. He's holding you together right now. He made purification for our sins. And he's the one who now sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. I think we can all agree that the writer of the Hebrews is not messing about. The writer of the Hebrews is not messing about. It took him less than one verse to start talking about Jesus. He jumps straight in to talking about the absolute supremacy of Jesus. He's placing Jesus in the highest place, sat next to the Father, God himself. He's set in the hierarchy of things. And in that hierarchy of things, Jesus takes the highest place. Jesus takes the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest honor. Jesus shall take the highest praise. Let all earth join heaven in rejoicing at the name above all other names. For all blessing and honor and power belongs to you. Belongs to you. All blessing and honor and power belongs to you. Belongs to you. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Jesus has the highest honour. And just as this was the starting place for the writer to the Hebrews, This should be our starting place in all that we do. Jesus has the highest honour. Wherever we are in life, whatever we are going through, that's the starting place. Jesus has the highest honour. You're going through a tough time that you don't understand. Jesus has the highest honour. I don't even deserve to be here in the first place. Life's a gift, and it's not about me anyway, it's about Him. You're going through good times. You're going through blessed times. Jesus has the highest honour. Anything you have is a gift from Him. He can give and He can take away, however He wants. Jesus has the highest honour. And this is the starting place where the author begins, and this is where we have to begin. See, anyone else having the highest place, or anyone else thinking they've got the highest place, results in disaster. Each and every time. Do you know that the whole of human history, and I'll even say the whole of, if I can put it like this, the whole of angelic history reflects that pattern of someone trying to have the highest place. Someone trying to have the highest honour. And every single time it results in disaster. Why? Because Jesus shall have the highest honour. Jesus shall have the highest honour. So after lifting Jesus to his rightful place, the writer to the Hebrews then goes on to show how Jesus has the highest place by comparing him to all sorts of different things and all sorts of different people. And this is to show the readers of this letter, the Jewish readers, that Jesus is superior to everything and everybody. If you want to like wonder what Hebrews is about, it's about that. Jesus is better than anything or anyone. And the whole of Hebrews is just expounding that. So what's the first thing that the writer of the Hebrews is going to compare Jesus to? Angels. He starts off by comparing Jesus to angels. And to do that, he uses a lot of quotes, a lot of verses from the Old Testament. And what the writer is doing there is he's saying, in an amazing way, that all of the Old Testament was about Jesus. Just to tell these Jewish readers that all of the Old Testament is about Jesus. They're saying that the Old Testament can't be fully understood apart from Jesus. So it says this in 2 Corinthians, and it's a paraphrase, but it's there. Reading the Old Testament without understanding who Jesus is, it's like wearing a veil as you read it. It's covered. It's not complete. But in Jesus, the veil is taken away. As the Christian rap artist Shai Lin puts it, and I would highly recommend his work, by the way. Deep, deep, deep lyrics. The Old Testament Jesus Christ concealed. The New Testament Jesus Christ revealed. See, the temptation for the Jewish readers was to receive Jesus, but still hang on to all the rituals and stuff as well. But all those things, and we've gone over this over and over and over again when we went through the Pentateuch, all of those things are signposts, which are meant to be pointing to Jesus. As it says in Colossians, they're the shadow. Jesus is the substance. So all of those things were meant to be pointing to Jesus. But now Jesus has come, they have the fulfillment of those things. Let me ask you a question. If you're following signposts to get to a destination, once you reach the destination, do you need the signposts anymore? No. Like the signposts were there to get you to the destination. All of that stuff was pointing you to Jesus. But once you have Jesus, you have everything. You don't need the signposts anymore. And the rest of Hebrews is basically the writer explaining that to them. How all of that stuff was pointing to Jesus. How Jesus has fulfilled the law. How he's greater and better and more awesome than all of the previous stuff. It's not the imperfect priesthood anymore. It's the perfect priest. It's not repeated sacrifices over and over again anymore. It's the one sacrifice for sins for all time. And so on and on and on it goes. But I'm jumping a little bit ahead, so I've got to rein myself in. Because today he's comparing Jesus to the angels. But there is an important point to make here before we go on. And it's this. We might not hang on to Old Testament rituals like the Jewish people did. To the sacrificial systems and all that. But there is a temptation when you receive Jesus to hang on to the past. Whatever it is. Or to get dragged back by the past. Whatever that is. See, everything in this world will be geared up to tell you that Jesus isn't enough. And that what you were doing before was better. Or they'll say, learn more stuff. Do this, do that. Don't you see, this is better than Jesus. No. Jesus is better than anything. Or anyone. And we hang on to the past, don't we, sometimes? But the reality is this. Jesus is your perfection. Jesus is your perfection. He's everything you need. And anyone or anything who tells you anything else is lying to you. And I want to tell you by the grace of God this morning that Jesus is all you need. So the writer starts by comparing Jesus to angels. Now you might ask, and this is a good question, why? Why does he start with angels? The main reason is because the Jewish people revered and esteemed angels higher than any other created being. And one of the reasons they did that is because they believed that the law was given to mankind through angels. And there's many Bible verses that teach that. I can't go into it in detail. There's loads of ways I could have gone this morning. I was speaking to Si a bit about this. I could have done a massive study on angels. I could have done a massive study on the way the law was handed to mankind through angels. But that would all miss the point. The whole point is that Jesus is better than angels. So I don't want to get too carried away. But there's lots of Bible teaching that teaches that God passed his law to mankind through angels. I'll just give you one verse for now. Galatians 3:19. And remember who's writing this. It's the Apostle Paul, a Jewish leader, a Jewish teacher. And in Galatians 3:19, it says that the law was given to men through angels. The law was delivered through angels. So in the Jewish culture, there was this visual hierarchy of God, angels, humanity. Yeah? God, angels, humanity. So this is the whole reason why the writer is starting by comparing Jesus to angels. Because of this idea they had. You following me so far? So the writer wants to show that Jesus is better than angels. He's a better mediator with a better covenant. So this is what the writer's doing in these verses this morning. And that's why if there was a sermon title for these verses, it would be Jesus is better than angels. And all of the points in this section are driving that home. So where does he start? First, Jesus is better than angels because he has a better title. And again, note how the writer is using Old Testament scriptures and saying that they're talking about Jesus. So look at verse 5 of Hebrews 1. But to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I've begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. So the first reason that Jesus is better than the angels is because of the title he has. And it would be really easy for me now to say Jesus. But it's not that title. What's the title from the verses? Son. That's the title that's better. Son. And just as a side note, does anyone know where these verses come from? Yeah, so the first one is Psalm. What? Yeah, for sweet God, yeah. 22, yeah. And then the second part, or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Where's that from? You can just look in the side there, your Bible. 2 Samuel. Okay, so he's using the Old Testament scriptures to say that all of that was talking about Jesus. Yeah? So he has a better name than the angels, because the name angel means messenger. The name angel means messenger, but Jesus is not a servant in the same way as an angel. He is God's son. He's God's son. So he has a better name than the angels. He's the heir of all things, as has already been said in the verses. No angel sits at God's right hand as the Son of God in power, but Jesus does. So Jesus has a better name than the angels. And that leads on to the second reason that Jesus is better than the angels. Because of who he is, he deserves the worship of angels. Look in verse 6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. The writer of the Hebrews is telling them that the angels worship Jesus. The angels worship Jesus. Jesus must be better than the angels because the angels worship Jesus. Remember that Jesus is sat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And remembering that, I want to read these verses to you to give you a picture of the throne room of God. Again, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Listen to these words again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. These are angelic beings, angels. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. This is what's going on in the throne room. These beings that we have no idea of are worshipping God. Worshipping the thrice holy God. They can't even look at him. He's so holy. And those beings are worshipping Jesus. That's how much higher Jesus is than the angels. That they can't even look and they just worship him. This is the point. Jesus is not an angel. He's so superior to the angels that they worship him because this is what he's due. No other religion worships Jesus except Christianity. Do you know that? No other religion worships Jesus. Muslims acknowledge him as a prophet. Jehovah's Witnesses say that he's an archangel. But the reality is that he is God's son. He is God's son. And he is worthy of all worship. Of all worship from all people. From all beings. He deserves worship. He's the exact imprint and the radiance of God's glory. And he has to be worshipped as Lord and God. He has to be worshipped as God. And this is where the writer's headed next. He says that Jesus is better than the angels because the angels worship him. But then he explains why they worship him. Listen, let's read again. Verse 7. This is why the angels worship Jesus. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You've loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning. And the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, and like a robe you'll roll them up. Like a garment they'll be changed, but you are the same. And your years will have no end. This is the reason that angels worship Jesus. Because he is God. Did you see it? In verse 8. But of the Son, he says, and remember, this is a scripture from the Old Testament. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Jesus is God. That's why the angels worship him. He's not just a son of God in the sense that a Christian is a son or daughter of God. Even the angels in some places in scripture are called sons of God. But Jesus isn't a son of God in that sense. He is God the Son. He is God the Son. Jesus is God. And the angels worship him, rightly so. And we need to test ourselves, don't we? Do we love Jesus as God? When we see him in his reality for who he actually is, do we fall at his feet like Thomas did? Remember Thomas? When it was kind of like revealed to him that Jesus was God? What did he do? He fell down at Jesus' feet and he said this, my Lord and my God. Do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe that like he was there in the beginning and all things were created through him and for him? And without him, nothing exists that does exist. Do you believe that like he sat at the right hand of the majesty on high right now and there's these angels, these angelic beings worshipping him? He is God. This is who Jesus is. And he's worthy of all praise. But then next the writer goes on to give another reason why Jesus is better than the angels. In verse 10. In verse 13. Again, he uses a scripture from the Old Testament. Verse 13. And to which of the angels has he ever said, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Jesus is creator. Jesus is eternal. Just as this world will be wrapped up like a scroll, Jesus will go on forever. Angels are created beings. They are not eternal. Jesus created them. If all things were created through him, were angels? Yes. Jesus is as far superior to the angels as the builder of a house is superior to the house. And you might think that's a mad thing to say, but that's what the writer to the Hebrews says about Moses in the next chapter. He says, just as a builder of the house is better than the house itself, so Jesus is better than Moses. And so Jesus is better than the angels. Why? Because he made them. He made them. These beings that we have no idea about, he created them. That's why he's better. He's eternal. And then finally, and this is where we're going to land the plane. Jesus is sat as king. The writer says this, doesn't he? To which of the angels has he ever said, sit in my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? None of them. None of them. No angel is sat at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is. Jesus is sat as king. And what are angels doing? Worshipping him and serving him. Doing his bidding. Look, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? So do you know what angels do? They worship and they serve Jesus. They worship King Jesus and they serve King Jesus. Jesus is sat as king. The angels are his servants. That's why he's better than them. He is king and they serve him. So in summary, this is why Jesus is better than the angels. He's the Son of God. He's God's son in a way that no angel ever was or is. Jesus is not an angel. He's worshipped by angels. Jesus is not an angel. He is God. Jesus is not an angel. He's the eternal creator of all things. And Jesus is seated on the throne as king, and angels are dispatched to do the king's bidding. He tells angels what to do. But the final thing is this, and this was really mind-blowing for me this morning. If Jesus is so much better than the angels, then why did he even create the angels? What are they there for? We've seen their role is to worship God, but then this. To be sent out by Jesus to minister and serve those who are to inherit salvation. Who's that? You. This is where I guess beyond my remit right now. How do angels serve you? I got no idea. But I know they do. I know they do. Like, I know that King Jesus tells angels or an angel to go out and minister and serve you. The way they worship God is by serving him. And the way that angels serve God is by serving you. Are you tracking with me on this, or is this just... It's mind-boggling. I am served by angels at the king's bidding. You are. Like, you know that angel who couldn't even look at Jesus? He's like, go and minister to Jim Bob. Go and minister to Chris Move. Go and minister to Helen. Go. Like, they obey the king's orders. And I know that even though he's the king of glory, he's ordained these angelic beings to, in some way I don't understand, serve me. And this is why I love, like, this chapter so much, because it gets the waiting just right. See, all of the whole chapter, he talks about Jesus and how glorious he is and how much better than angels he is. And then, just out of human nature, you're probably like, where am I? Mm-hmm. We're always like that, innit? Where am I? Well, you're here at the end. Like, right at the end. In the, like, last bit of the last sentence. But, what he's doing for you is mind-boggling. See, he is God. He is the creator of all things. He is the one who made purification for sins. He is the one who angels worship. He is the one who angels obey. And yet, his heart is to serve you. You. And me. This King of glory. This King of glory. Whom angels worship, wants to serve you. He wants you to know him. That's the right waiting. Not like James, tag Jesus on the end. Jesus, tag James on the end. Tag you on the end. And I pray that just as the angels like worship and then obey and serve us, I just want to pray that if you've glimpsed Jesus this morning by his grace, the same thing would happen. You just worship him and serve. Let's pray. Lord, I just feel a little bit like out of my depth again, and just like I peel back a curtain into a realm that's just too mind-blowing. But I thank you, Lord, that you're just so far above anything that I can even imagine. And I just pray, Lord God, that you'd just like impact that on our hearts like a rocket this morning, that like even though you're this King of glory, we have these beings sent to minister to us, and your heart is for us to send these beings out to serve us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much for all you've done. And I pray, Lord God, that you'll never let us lose the fact, the sight of who you are. The sight of how glorious you are. And that we'd be amazed again by the fact that we can even call you our King and our Father. I pray, Lord, that as we continue to go through this amazing book, you continue to open our eyes, that we'd go deeper with you, and that we'd fall more and more in love with you. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.